and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life, where we're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. If God performed a miracle and saved your child's life, how would that change the way you live? Linda Oliver has sung for the First Lady, Laura Bush, and at the inaugurations of governors. She's organized presidential, gubernatorial, and U.S. congressional campaigns and served 4 Alabama governors. Her leadership in resource development has ensured major medical research facilities the ability to offer world-class medical care. Today, she also shares the story of the miracle recovery of her daughter, Ashley, from a car accident. Have you ever experienced shocking moments and have had to recover from them and put your life back together? Well, Linda Oliver knows all about that as she shares today, but she also wants to share with us about what Christ has done in her life. And that's why we're here at the Good Life Radio Program, to share the message of Christ, who loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. And 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. The living Christ, who has touched Linda Oliver, will touch you today, dear friend. Linda Oliver is a highly sought-after conference speaker. She's the founder of Hope for the Nation. It's a progressive network of compassionate volunteers giving hope through loving acts of kindness to the hopeless and brokenhearted in America. This is a pre-recorded interview that Suzanne Maurer and I had with her. Join us in this time, and Suzanne and I will be back with some comments. Enjoy. Linda Oliver. Linda, where did you grow up?
Danny, I was born in Montgomery, Alabama, just a little beautiful city, the capital of Alabama, and then moved to Birmingham about 30 years ago. So I reside in Birmingham today.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
I would say there were two people that influenced me most. My mother, because my mother was a woman of prayer. And I am no stranger to prayer and miracles. We did not have a lot of money. And so when the cat got sick, we could not take the cat to the vet just readily. But Mama would pray for our kitty cats. And as a little child, I would remember sitting with my mom. And one particular incident, a cat had been in a fight and lost its eye. And we prayed for that kitty cat. And 2 weeks later, my mother called me to the window and said, "Come here and look. And Danny, I promise you that cat had a new eye and was a beautiful new eye." And one time when my dad was traveling, he was a salesman, he had terrific high blood pressure. And it had been so high, the headache blinded him and he was passing out and going off the edge of the road, about to head to a ravine. And he asked the Lord to help him, and somehow the Lord did. And the next day, he called Mama and said, "Please pray, I can't go on." And I had a little brother by then, and we sat in the hall floor and prayed. And the Lord healed my daddy of that high blood pressure. And to his dying day, years and years later, he never had high blood pressure again. Mm. So I've seen those things through my mother, and then through my daddy, who was a raging, angry, broken boy somewhere in his childhood. He had been severely abused and broken. His father and brother, for his 15th birthday, took him to the woods to give him his birthday whooping, they called it, and his back was fractured. And he laughed about it, but it was a serious situation. And so that rage manifests itself, and one Sunday when I was 10 years old, my mother had begged him to go to church, and he cussed like a sailor, smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day, and just angry. And that morning, as we sat there, I beside my daddy, I felt the Holy Spirit come down that aisle, and he rested right at my dad's side, and tears poured down my dad's face with not a word said, and he accepted the Lord as his Savior, and he became an humble, weeping gentleman. And we stopped at the Alabama River Bridge on the way home, and he unloaded cases of cigarettes. We threw them over into the river, and my dad never picked up a cigarette nor had a desire to smoke again in his life.
Mm. What a beautiful testimony to bring. Praise God.
So growing up in your family, how did you become a Christian?
Well, when I was 10 years old and saw my daddy change miraculously, I accepted the Lord as my Savior at 10 years old. And then at 12 years old, the Lord called my dad to be a minister of the gospel. And that forever changed my life. That just solidified my walk with the Lord, because at that point, we began planting churches in the projects and in the rough side of town. And, you know, I was part of the team, my mom and dad, and put the songbooks out in the seats every Sunday and clean the bathrooms. And daddy would cut the grass and pass out quarters to the kids in the projects to get them to come to Sunday school the next day. And, you know, it was just an awesome life. It's my favorite memories of my life.
Linda, you mentioned two people that were influential as you grew up. Your mother
and my daddy.
Okay, thank you. Of course.
Well, and you have a fondness for singing, don't you?
Oh, yes, I do, Danny. I never feel closer to the Lord than when I'm singing to Him. And I actually sang before I spoke. My mother tells me that when I began to come to my little time as a nine-month-old baby to speak, I sang songs to her. So the Lord had sent that into my spirit, I guess, before He sent me here.
And you even had the privilege of singing with world-famous groups like The Temptations and Alabama?
Yes. Yes. I sang the national anthem and did a Christmas celebration on the steps of the state capitol in Alabama with Alabama. And then for the Alabama Youth Home, we invited the Temptations to come. And we went on the stage and sang God is good all the time He is good. And it was quite a wonderful, exciting night.
How did it make you feel to be on stage with such legendary groups?
Danny, it made me feel like this phone call with you and Suzanne makes me feel. In this small little life of just being ordinary, or thinking your life does not matter, or what you have is not valuable to give to the world, maybe crushed, or, you know, just things not being anything more than survival, there I stood on that stage with those people and the gifts God's given me to be able to perform with legends and stars and fabulous, talented people. I could feel no more joyful in those situations than I do right now. And this brings tears to my eyes to be on this phone call with you and Suzanne and see where you were connecting us in Hawaii and Massachusetts and Alabama, about to hear a story of my life. And when I was in that story, literally living that story, thinking our life is over. Our life is literally over. And today, to be here, for you to be inquiring to share this story of hope to people, I am almost speechless with tears in my eyes. Mm.
Dear one, today as you listen to Linda.
As you listen to our time together with Linda Oliver, Suzanne Maurer, and I, in our hearts, yearning and desire for you is that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have not yet come to know Him, at the same time, if you're already walking with the Lord, that this sharing moment of Linda, as she shares heart to heart with us, with you, that you would be inspired, that you would be encouraged, that you would be built up in our time together. When we come back from our break, Linda will share a story about her daughter. And I want you to brace yourselves. I want you to buckle your seatbelt because you're going to be in for a ride. You think about people and the things that they go through, and sometimes you make comparisons. I know I do that from time to time. God uses those things to put my life in perspective quite often. And in that moment of regaining perspective, there's a certain level of tension. And the tension often leads to a point of humility, a point of brokenness. And you know what? A tension that leads to a point of thankfulness for what God is doing, what God will do. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests.
One of Hawaii's premier golf tournaments is right around the corner. On Friday, July 29th, Jesus Christ is Calling You Evangelistic Ministries presents the 19th annual Call to Hope Golf Tournament at Pearl Country Club. Each year, golfers converge for a day of fun, healthy competition, great food, fellowship, and fabulous prizes. Enter your team today. The Call to Hope Golf Tournament, Friday, July 29th. For more info or to register, visit jccy.org.
Active lifestyle. Are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest. Well,
welcome back to our show. Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host Suzanne Maurer. We're grateful that you're with us. Suzanne, hasn't it been when we did this recorded interview with Linda, wasn't it a touching moment that we shared with her?
It was so touching that I have since gotten in touch with her, and we're praying together, and I'm praying for this book that she's hopefully going to release soon, but remarkable.
Well, and of course, in the way that she, I would imagine the way she writes, if it's in the way that she communicates, the way she speaks, it really has a way of bringing us into her moment.
Yes.
And in her moment, we see ourselves in that moment. And then we can see how God works, has worked not only in her life, but how God can work in our lives.
Well, I'm glad you've told the listeners to buckle up, because what's ahead is really quite astonishing.
Linda Oliver shares her story of what she experienced as a mother. Mm-hmm. Mother to her daughter, Ashley. It's a pre-recorded interview, again, with Linda Oliver. Linda Oliver, as you have lived your life, tell us what happened to Ashley.
It was Columbus Day, October 11th. It was an ordinary day. I worked that day. I had decorated a dining room for a client and was loading the car with my leftover cans of paint, beautiful hand-finished project, and headed home. And Ashley called and asked if she could borrow my car for the evening to go to a meeting with some friends, which was very unusual because she had her own brand-new car that she'd gotten for her 16th birthday. And, of course, I said yes, a little curious about why she would want to use my car. I asked her what was there a special reason, and she said, I don't know. I just would like to take your car. So they were waiting on me as I got home and went to the meeting and then came back in a couple of hours. I was preparing to go to bed, and a little while later after some TV, she said she would take her friend home, be back shortly. And I went to bed, and at 11:16 p.m., the phone call came that no mother or father ever, ever wants to receive. And it was her friend, actually, who said, Mrs. Oliver, have you heard from the hospital? And I said, well, no. And she said, well, Ashley's been in an accident. And I truly almost laughed. I thought they might be playing a joke on me. You know how kids do. And so when I thought it might be a joke, she said, you need to head to the hospital. And as she was saying that, another call beeped in, and I could see by the phone ID it was the University of Alabama in Birmingham Hospital calling in. And I took the call, and they too said, you need to come to the hospital. Be careful. And I was trying to find out, is she okay? Is she okay? And they just said, just drive carefully. So I rushed to the ER entrance and made my way down a hall that seemed like a dream. Not overly alarmed, though, Danny, because we were strong girls. Our dreams had been shattered about 7 years prior to that night, shattered never to be reestablished when her father and my husband had made choices that the enemy presented that broke our hearts and tore our family apart. So we were not quick to overreact, and I thought maybe, you know, broken arm or, you know, a scratch, and I couldn't find her. And as I ran down those corridors that suddenly became in slow motion like in the movies, a nurse looked over at me, and I said, I'm Linda Oliver. I'm looking for my daughter. Where is she? And she just shook her head no. And I knew what she was saying was, she didn't make it? Is that what she's trying to say to me? So I'm dashing down the hall searching, and I saw a lot of commotion in front of me, people in scrubs and doctors and stretchers and men in uniforms, and I quickly pulled up as close as I could to see what was going on there. Maybe that was Ashley. And I couldn't see anything, stretching to see over their shoulders. All I could see was blood and stained sheets and emergency people yelling and beepers and directives, and someone behind me put his arms around me and pulled me a little back and was whispering in my ear that he was the first responder that had come to Ashley and seen her and gotten her to the hospital. And he simply said, Mrs. Oliver, it's not good, but she is in the best possible place for help. And he said, I'm going to try to get you up a little closer to see if you can get a glimpse of her. And he worked his way up, and I couldn't see her. And finally, I saw her foot. Suzanne, I saw her foot, and I knew that foot. I'd know her feet anywhere. That foot, I counted those toes when she was born. I bought the first baby shoes for those feet. I bought her cleats when she played t-ball, and it was bloody, and that's all I could see, and they said I had to move. So he pulled me back, and they eventually left. What I didn't know that night was that Ashley had hydroplaned coming down a curve, a slick curve. They called it the death trap. There were some hazards and some problems in that asphalt, owned by three municipalities, which it seemed no one wanted to take fiscal responsibility for the repair, so it was left as a death trap. Others had been killed there before Ashley's accident, and she hydroplaned and took out a rail, hit two trees head-on, and flipped 50 feet to the creek bank. Car stopped just before the creek bank. She had hit the mirror. She hit the steel beam in the car, was forcefully sent back enough that her head crashed the back passenger window. And when they found her, her head was under the car. Her body was still in the car, and the car was on its side. God had placed a flat rock underneath that car that night that kept the car from completely crushing her skull. And as she lay there in that situation, a neighbor found her. The ambulance came and got her. And I was sent away. They said I had to go to the waiting room. There's waiting rooms in life that we don't like. Many, many sad things in a waiting room, waiting for a miracle or for God to turn around something in your life. But I tried to make my way to the waiting room, and one of the nurses stopped me, and she said, "Where did you park?" I could hardly hear her talking because by now my ears are muffled and my head is throbbing and I'm unable to function. And she said, "You'll have to move your car. You parked in the ER zone. You have to move your car." Well, I had no husband.
Something is going to be explained by Linda about what took place when she moved when she moved her car. But she talked about waiting rooms. Waiting rooms in life, those moments when it's like you're in suspended animation. You don't know what's going to happen next. You just know that your head is throbbing and you're in sort of a state of shock. Well, of course, in her case, she was in a state of shock. What came to mind is you heard, Suzanne, you heard Linda sharing this part of her story.
Well, first of all, it had seemed surreal to her, what she was experiencing. But the heartbreak for me was that she barely got to see her daughter, just the foot, and then was ushered back away. And now a nurse is stopping her and talking to her, and her mind just had to be racing. I'm sure she didn't want to leave her daughter's side, but there's more to come with what happened, with what the nurse is announcing about where did you park your car.
We also need to keep in mind that she's not standing there with her husband or others to give her emotional support.
Exactly.
She's there alone.
Yes, yes.
And I don't know if in times of life's journey you feel all alone in moments of shock or transition or disappointment, you feel like no one else is there. Well, sometimes people are there and you still feel alone. But in Linda's case, no one was there.
And Danny, did we share that Ashley is an only child?
Only
this
child?
Was her only child.
I mean, imagine the preciousness of Ashley. Well, Linda Oliver will be back in this pre-recorded interview with Linda, sharing her story heart to heart with us. Dear one, are you in the waiting room of life right now? Are you in that moment of suspended animation in this period right now? Well, the Lord in these times is still moving. He's still at work, as it were, because of his plan and purpose for you. Now, the thing about Linda is that it's much more than just what God did for her. Is what God continues to do through her in her life.
Yes.
Using her through broken moments, through faith-building moments, as God will use you, dear friend. Through broken moments, through trying times, God is preparing to use you in ways you would have never imagined. New dimensions are being added to your life when it seems like it isn't. We're here to remind you, and Linda is here to tell us, indeed, it is. Dimensions added to your life. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One of Hawaii's premier golf tournaments is right around the corner. On Friday, July 29th, Jesus Christ is Calling You Evangelistic Ministries presents the 19th annual Call to Hope Golf Tournament at Pearl Country Club. Each year, golfers converge for a day of fun, healthy competition, great food, fellowship, and fabulous prizes. Enter your team today. The Call to Hope Golf Tournament, Friday, July 29th. For more info or to register, visit jccy.org.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, you know, sometimes you feel like things blow up in life, and then what blew up blows up even more. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. We're grateful that you're with us today. This is a special moment. And as we listen to this pre-recorded interview with Linda Oliver, Linda's a singer. She's a humanitarian. She's an author.
A prayer warrior.
In fact, how prayer has made a difference throughout her life. So it's an underlying theme in Linda's life, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. From childhood on, thanks to her mother.
Now, as you listen to this portion of Linda's story, think about the difference prayer can make in your life.
Well, I had no husband. I had my mom and dad very sick. I've been caring for them now for 7 years. They were so sick. And alone, I tried to find my way back to my car. And in searching for a parking deck, I had taken an Ambien to try to sleep. You see, after our dreams were shattered, I couldn't sleep at night. I had to be on guard all those years to protect mm-hmm. us. And so the doctor had tried an Ambien to set some pattern of sleep if possible. So there was an Ambien in my system. And trying to fight that to think, and knowing my daughter is dying, they said she would not live 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And in my search to find the parking deck, I thought I'd made a bad turn and reversed, tried to make the turn, and I hit a curb. And my car went up and hit two trees in the median. And Danny, forever I will ask the Lord when I see him, how in the world does a car hit a curb in a downtown road, a median, and send you airborne? My car flipped twice in the air on that downtown street. And when I came to, I was laying in a shattered bed of glass, sunroof under me, and the car was crushed. And I came to searching for my phone and just trying to find a way to get in touch with 911. I lay there for quite some time wondering how I would get back to my child.
You are, this is when you're trying to find a parking.
Yes. I was searching for the parking deck.
Linda, how old was Ashley at that time?
Suzanne, Ashley was 22 years old. She was attending Auburn University. She was in her second or third year. And you know when they're 16 and get their driver's license, you watch, stand at the window and wait for them to come in and mm-hmm. pray the whole time they're gone. And she was 22. So she had already moved into an apartment as a student. She'd made that trip from Auburn to Birmingham many times successfully. So I wasn't as on guard as I was when she was younger. So mm-hmm. when that call came, it was a shock to get a call at 22.
So now you're in a wreck and she's in the hospital.
Yeah.
What happened?
There I lay in the pitch black of night, and I finally was able to reach around, and the Lord, or an angel, so placed my phone right beside me, and I tried to feel the numbers to dial 911, place the call, and I heard a voice outside of a gentleman saying, "Oh my God, there's somebody still in that car." And I looked over as best I could, and I saw a white gentleman in a suit with an umbrella, and a black gentleman in street clothes, and the white gentleman had held his umbrella over the other man. And I don't know why that placed such a visual in my mind, but right there in that moment of such destruction and fear, there were two people from two different walks of life unified in that moment to help someone they didn't even know. And so he said to me, yelling out across from the sidewalk, "We've called 911, help is coming." Well, there was a flicking red light and smoke everywhere in that car that made me think the car was on fire. So I'm struggling to turn myself over and drag myself forward, which I'm crawling in the area where there should have been a console. However, the console's hanging from the ceiling above me now. And I've got to make a turn when I get to the front of the car to get to the driver's window to try to get out. And the steering wheel hanging from the ceiling did not allow enough space for me to get through. So I had to drag myself sideways. And with every second that I'm trying to get to a place to crawl out or get out, I'm trying to go to sleep. I cannot stay awake. And for a couple of minutes, I just am falling asleep, trying to wake myself up. My God, I have got to get out of here. My child's in the hospital. She's dying. So I get to the window, There was about an 8-inch opening where the car had crushed itself to the pavement, and I'm struggling to try to work to get through that opening, and I hear the siren. And to fast forward, they worked with the car to cut the door to get me out, put me on a board, and were racing me to the ambulance. And I'm saying to them, I can't go, I can't go, I've got to go to UAB. It wasn't the hospital on call that night. So I'm saying, please, thinking I'm yelling to them, please, I've got to get to my daughter at UAB. And finally, one rescuer must have heard me, and I said, sir, if you don't let me go, I'm going to have to get off the stretcher and walk to the hospital. I have to go now. So after signing many, many papers to release them of liability, I headed towards my car and realized I can't. That car's crushed upside down. I can't even drive it. I had to backtrack and go to the policeman and ask if he'd take me to the hospital, and he did. And I get back, and at that point, it's not good. The doctor said the tests we have found are not good, and we don't expect her to make it. They allowed me to look at her for a minute and then sent me back to the waiting room where I sat and waited for what seemed an eternity. A nurse came and got me finally and took me to an area where they were still trying to stabilize her and told me that Ashley had taken several blows to the head, that she'd suffered a moderate to severe head trauma. Her ribs were all broken to pieces, except six in the entire rib cage. She had punctured lungs. Her face was almost taken off and ears severed, crushed pelvis, neck broken in two places, back broken in three places. There was no hope for her whatsoever. And I still had to wait another time until they finally let me try to get up closer to her. And I stumbled on something and looked down, and it was jug connected to, looked like large hose pipes that went up under the cover. Blood was almost filling those jugs, and I took my hand and followed those pipes up to my daughter's chest where the blood was pouring out of her body. They'd already given her 5 blood transfusions. She'd coded 3 times. And when I saw my daughter, I couldn't believe what I saw. Yes, our dreams were shattered, and my only child, my precious possession, life hung in the balance.
We want to find out what happened to Ashley through such a horrific, virtually unspeakable ordeal. With the addition of your own situation that almost comes at us like a blur in the midst of the trauma upon trauma. And so when we come back, let's talk about that and also how through these ordeals, somehow, God began to speak to you and give you vision for a life of service, a life of providing hope in Christ to other family members in desperate situations. Dear friend, as you listen to Linda Oliver today, it might seem to you like words are so weak in terms of its ability to communicate the trauma, the tragedy, and Linda yet has done such a picturesque job in allowing us to see what took place. But when words fail, there's God. Stay with us.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One of Hawaii's premier golf tournaments is right around the corner. On Friday, July 29th, Jesus Christ is Calling You Evangelistic Ministries presents the 19th annual Call to Hope Golf Tournament at Pearl Country Club. Each year, golfers converge for a day of fun, healthy competition, great food, fellowship, and fabulous prizes. Enter your team today. The Call to Hope Golf Tournament, Friday, July 29th. For more info or to register, visit jccy.org.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives.
how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Today, Linda Oliver, in addition to building homes for families on the Gulf Coast, following Katrina and serving women who have lost everything, she has put together a Queen for a Day, providing personal makeovers and wardrobes. The ministry is building bomb shelters in Israel for students and teachers. All this from Linda, who has experienced great, great pains in her life, unspeakable moments in life, as you are listening to her in this pre-recorded interview. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. We're grateful that you're with us. Suzanne, as you listen to Linda, you know, what triggers in your heart in terms of emotional response?
Well, I have to be honest. Right now, she's just looking. She's followed her hands up the tube, and she's seeing all of this blood and finding out that she's had 5 transfusions. So I don't think she's even had time to start praying. She's trying to assess all of this. I'm anxious to know. What are the doctors going to say? It looks totally hopeless.
Let's find out in this time together we've had with Linda Oliver.
Linda, tell us what happened. How did the Lord intervene and save Ashley's life?
My daughter was laying there, that petite little beautiful girl, my only child, connected to life support. The machine found that swoosh, swoosh, breathing breath because she couldn't breathe for herself. Life support, she's in a coma, just laying there. And it was at that moment, all of those memories of my mother's times that we sat in the hall as little children and prayed. My mother and daddy had been the strength in our prayers. They were the ones we ran to when we needed prayer. I was suddenly standing there stripped naked before God. I was the one who now had to pray. Did I know how to pray? Could I pray hard enough? Could I be strong enough in my connection to God? This was my child. What a test when the most horror of tragedies comes into your life and you are the only one that is there and prayer is needed. So I began to call on God. I realized at that moment, in my mind's eye, I would be taking the hand of her spirit and reaching up to the throne of God to grab his foot, his ankle, to hold on as a bridge between earth and heaven in standing in faith for my daughter's life. Mm-hmm. And I cried out to God. And for days and days, there was no hope, no hope. A month has gone by in that waiting room, hearing all kinds of things that we deal with, the challenges of the raging illness. And they even took me to the chapel one day and said, we know you're praying. We see that you're praying, but we need to talk to you. And the lady with the clipboard was standing behind them. I didn't know who she was, but it was bothering me. And I finally interrupted and said, who is she? And the doctor introduced us. She stepped forward. She had come for Ashley's organs. And I said, no, no, not now, not now. So the doctor said, you know, we know you believe that God is going to save your child. But if God were to answer your prayers, let us just share a little bit about the best that answer could be. She will be a vegetable the rest of her life. She will not be able to function. She will need this machinery to survive. And you cannot afford her medical care as a single mom. Is this what you want? Well, that set me back. Suzanne, I don't even know how to respond. And then the big question came when the surgeon said, have you considered what Ashley would want? What would your daughter want? Would she want that life? Oh, Danny, I was dumbfounded. I had no words. Of course my daughter, would she want that life? She was an athlete. She loved sports. She was healthy. She was a go-getter, type A personality, very smart. Life was full. Could she survive that? I don't know. Would she want that? I wouldn't want it. So without letting that come into my heart, I had to ponder these things in my heart. Maybe like Mary, when the angel came, and it might have been such a moment as that when the impossible faced Mary, the mother of Jesus, and mm-hmm. she had to ponder these things in her heart. So I did that, and I prayed, and I continued to pray. But it was then I spilled under the staircase, totally worn out and spilled out. I didn't even have words to pray. And I simply said, Father, I have no words, and I certainly do not have the wisdom to know how to pray. Your will be done. And when you say your will be done, that's after you have considered the fact that she could die and would die based on the scientific record. Mm-hmm. I had to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and offer my child up in death, if that so be the Lord's will. My friend prayed with me that day, and she was leaving for a missions trip, and she said, in 3 days, Ashley's going to wake up. And I didn't even count the days. I was not even aware of days passing. But as it turned out, on the third day, I walked in her room, and her hands and feet were always tied to the bed, but not this day. The reason I know is because as I glimpsed back at her, I thought I saw a tear running down her cheek. Well, that was impossible. She's in a coma, and as I'm processing this, I see tears pouring down both of my daughter's cheeks. She's weeping, and I see her hands begin to shake. And they start to raise up, shaking, like a little baby's reaching up for a mom or dad to pick me up, pick me up. And as that's happening, her hand reach over, and she does this little motion where she touches one hand and then another, and then she does this sick symbol with her hand. I don't know what she's trying to say. And as she's finishing that symbol, her eyes open, and they're smiling. She's looking straight at me, and her eyes are smiling at me, and she knows me, and she knows where she is. And I'm beeping the nurse, trying to calmly say to my daughter, who's been asleep, you're in the hospital, all is well. I'm just going to beep the nurse to get her to come in and help explain things. And Nurse Jennifer comes in, and I'm saying, she's trying to tell us something. She's trying to say something. By then, Nurse Jennifer has beeped the surgeon, and doctors are lining up. Teams are lining up outside the hall with clipboards and beepers and phones. The girl, the patient, has awakened from a coma. Impossible. And Jennifer, nurse, comes over, and I show her what I think I've seen. And she says, this is sign language. Do you know sign language? No. Neither one, Ashley nor I, know sign language. Mm. And she says, what you have shown me is, Jesus, I love you, and I am overcome by grace of an unseen Father who has come to earth and captured me in his arms. And it's like I felt in the Bible when the Lord went and the father said, come and pray, my daughter is dead, please come and pray. And the Lord simply said, arise, daughter. I believe the Lord himself was saying to my Ashley, arise, daughter. And she woke up like a sleeping beauty. And in her awakening back here with us in a consciousness was saying, Jesus, I love you. As if she were completing a conversation she had with the Lord. Mm. And she was back with us. And that was hope that filled a hospital room. That hope traveled down the corridors of that medical facility. People were touched in places I could have never reached as the Holy Spirit took that word throughout that facility. And the next morning when I walked in, I laid my hand on her head, and it was warm. And I said, what is this? Why is she so warm? And the nurse said, I know, she's a little warm, little low-grade fever. We're going to take care of that. We're going to, we're giving her something, and, you know, a lot of times intense pain will cause that, and she's aware now, so perhaps the pain is driven, the blood pressure and fever. The fever went up, 103, 104, 105, because they had told me, as they told me there was no hope in that meeting in the chapel, if you must pray, pray she not get infection. And I prayed, and I begged God not to let her get infection. Well, by the next morning, she was developing pneumonia in both lungs. Staph infection was raging in her body. And another infection that I have it in the book that I'm writing now that it's a medical term and it's a fatal infection. It had all grasped her body. The enemy was not satisfied until he took her life out. So, as it were, they packed my daughter in ice, and we prayed, and we were back in the waiting room. That beautiful hope that was surging the hall was now challenged once again by the enemy in the pit of hell. Well, the Lord was victorious, and as they pumped antibiotics in that body and we prayed, she came through those infections, and she was doing just great. And we went home 1 week later. She was still with a collar, cervical collar, because they had her ready to connect back to life support. Felt like she'd be back shortly in an emergency. They wouldn't allow her to walk because of crushed hips and lungs and so forth, could not walk. They had her on feeding tubes, and we went home, and that began my care of this broken child.
Linda goes on to talk about in the brokenness of Ashley, how strong-willed she was in not wanting to have a ramp built at the house so that she could go up on with the wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? She
yes.
wanted to have a
yes.
actually work her way up by herself,
yes,
slow as it would be, but to be able to get up there on her own. Strong-willed, yes, and strongly sustained by the grace of God.
The beauty of it for me, Danny, is that honestly there are even Christians today that don't believe that miracles still happen today. And this is an incredible, true miracle story that did happen. And through prayer and God's amazing grace and restoration, he's going to answer those prayers for Linda. Miracles do happen today. And we just need to hear these stories to be encouraged by them.
Linda speaks with a certain compelling simplicity and profoundness,
yes,
because of her experiences in the heat of the battle, the spiritual battle, a moment of such despair. Today, someone might be in despair.
Yes.
And how do you feel Linda's story could apply to someone in that moment of pain?
Well, my hope is that they're hearing the power of prayer, the necessity of prayer, in a sense, the privilege of prayer and the answer to prayer. And we just need to share stories and reach out to more and more people to encourage them that we serve a God that can do anything. And his love never leaves us. He's got a purpose and a plan. But when things go horrifically wrong, which is what happened for Linda, prayer. She had been raised on prayer. She believes in prayer. She had people around her praying.
And she remembered what her parents had always done.
Yes,
in
exactly.
In her years growing up.
Yeah. But, I mean, even listening to the time frame, it's sounding to me like about a week after she came out of the coma, Ashley is heading home. This is absolutely miraculous.
Mm-hmm. And the medical professionals are able to see. They want to certainly document what's taking place because it's not supposed to happen.
Well, and she mentioned it throughout the hospital. People are just amazed. They're dumbfounded. This can't be possible. And yet Ashley's getting ready and going home.
I understand there's a certain level of, from a medical standpoint, they need to have things level off in the way that they communicate to families. But still, in Christ, we always have hope for the miracle working power of God, even as we hear today in this story of Linda Oliver. Dear friend, there's always a story to tell. There's always more to what's going on. And Linda has seen Ashley recover.
Mm-hmm.
She's experienced the fullness of God's grace up to this point in her life and seeing what God is able to do in the life of her dear daughter. My friend, what God can do in your life, what God can do in the lives of those who you love so dearly, this is a testament of what he can do in and through you. I hope that you were moved, even as Susanna and I have been, with Linda Oliver in the sharing of her story. Such a unique way of communicating. And you know what? There's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Christ. We hope you would do it, and that's our hope and prayer. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. And if you'd like to stand with us with your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Psalm 30, verse 4, sing praises to the Lord, you His faithful people, praise His holy name. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Linda Oliver. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.